such a good conversation with Yogi Roth, which I'm going to reset momentarily. Welcome to the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. It's hour number three. Hour three of three. But the show continues after the show. Not with an after show, but with a podcast. Episode 150, Darius Butler, former NFLer turned podcaster, YouTuber, analyst. It's really good. It's a really good episode. How do I know? I've already done it. We taped it out, and he shows up great. Darius Butler, make sure you look for that. That's coming up shortly after the program, episode 150. This show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Phone lines are open. We've done all the interviews. So now you want to call 1-800-636-8686. Yogi Roth is really, really interesting. He's always been a really interesting person to me. And I don't mean just in this business, but generally, a really interesting person. He's got a great energy. He's got great vibe, great grit. Walked on in college. And more than just a football player and a coach, he is a filmmaker, as I mentioned. He produces a lot of amazing content. He's an author. And just really, really interesting. Thinks about things deeply. And I'm glad to see some of the reaction I'm getting. Rayan Sherwood tweets, "Oh my gosh, that just stopped me in my tracks. Yogi Roth, thank you so much for sharing that. And God bless your mother." Carl and Prescott tweets, "Wow, great story from Yogi Roth. Prayers for the loss of your mother." 49er girl is in. "Great segment today with Yogi Roth. Never forget your roots." Rip City Gus 503 tweets, "Damn, Rome. That Yogi Roth segment was like a mini podcast. Sports insight and riveting real life story with a message. I feel like I should have to pay for that content. Well done." Thanks, Gus. Like I said, Yogi is really interesting. The thing about the podcast, too, is that's premium content that's free. That's why I take so much pride in that podcast. That's premium content, long-form conversations, and it is free. And we do this every single Wednesday. So no, you do not have to pay for that. JJ Sportmo tweets, "I'm sincerely getting misty-eyed. I had to eulogize my mother a few years back. One of the hardest things I've ever done." I did the same thing. I did a eulogy for my father when he passed away. I was in my late 20s. My father was 59 when he passed away. He had leukemia. And the really weird thing about that, I'm one of those people, because of what I do for a living, it's always understood in the family when somebody has to do a speech, they come to me. Because, well, that's easy for him. This is what he does. And that's true. And for most people, their biggest fear of all is public speaking. And since I do this as a job, I've always done this. And I'm always happy to do it. And because my father fought, you know, like Yogi said about his mother, my father was the same way in the way he battled cancer. You know, all heart, all grit, all courage, never flinched, never blinked. I've told the story a million times, but he didn't even tell anybody. Like, he had leukemia and didn't tell anybody except me and my sister, literally. They didn't tell anybody, my father and my mother. So when it happened and he fought that battle for as long as he did, and he passed away when it was time to do the eulogy, of course I did that. My mother asked me to do that, and I did that. You know the weirdest thing about that? And I did that, and I was proud, and I couldn't wait to share my thoughts on what I saw during this time and the journey and the battle and the way he took on that battle. One of his childhood friends went to my mother and said, "That was the worst eulogy I've ever heard." Literally said that to my mother. It was so weird, right? And he took great offense. Great offense. And that story worked its way back to me. And I never saw those people ever again. And not because of that. I just didn't, because of our various paths in life. And I have no idea why that guy thought that or what motivated him to say that. But when this person says, "I had to do a eulogy for my mother and it was the hardest thing I've ever done. Thanks for sharing that story." Isn't that weird? That's what takes me back to that. Like, people are coming up to me afterwards. "That was really well thought out. That was really heartfelt. Well done. Well done. Well done. That was the worst analogy or eulogy I've ever heard." Weird. Wow, Rome, awkward story. Yeah, it is awkward. Really weird. We're just sharing these thoughts now. 1-800-636-8686. Dear Jim, I hope Silk got interviewed after the election by that tennis reporter, Paul in Cedar Falls.
Hi. Nadal, congratulations on your win. And I would like to know, how do you feel after the game and if you're ready to give it another try?
I lost, by the way.
Yeah, I know, but it's a win anyway.
Another personal awkward story. So once back in the day, I was talking to this guy about investing in this business. And he pitched me on a really huge investment. And I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I thought about it. And then I found him, and I said, hey, listen, I'm really sorry. I have bad news, but this is just not something I can do. He goes, bad news? That's good news. And then just like stayed in the fight. I'm like, did you hear what I just said? I said, I'm really sorry. I have bad news. I cannot make this investment. I cannot buy into this company. He said, bad news? That's good news. And just flipped the thing on its head. Like some kind of crazy Jedi mind trick on me. I literally laughed out loud. Like, bro, are you kidding with that? Did you just do that? Did you just say that? Are you trying to Jedi mind trick me? I mean, I've heard of flipping things on their head. But I'm reaching for my wallet. Did he just get my money? Bad news. That's good news. Like that reporter. Well, yeah, I know.
Hi.
Drew in West LA tweets, Silk would have won if he campaigned on reducing the Highway 73 toll from $50 to $25. Man, let that die, Drew. Let that go, Drew. True, that's like the most amazing highway ever. People who travel that highway gladly pay the cost. JJ tweets, if the real Silk Bra calls in, make sure he knows the plaque for 13th place is down the hall in the ladies' room, signed Iceman.
The plaque for the alternates is down in the ladies' room.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, you kill me. You really do.
Ice. It was actually 12th place, not 13th.
Ice, man.
Christopher C. tweets, get ready to bleep and fight on, baby. Let's go. Signed, Trojan Jim. Unable to contain his excitement that Pac-12 football is back.
Get ready to fight on, baby. Let's go.
Trojan Jim now. All right, then, resetting it. How about a phone call? 1-800-636-8686. How about a compliment for my pyramid of beef? Our first ever bit of product placement on the simulcast. Did you see that bad boy? I'm proud of that beef. Man, you can see that from 40,000 feet up. They saw that in Saturn. They saw that from Mars. They saw that from Jupiter. Did you see that pyramid of beef? Let's go to the phones. I've got thoughts on Bill Belichick. I have thoughts on the 49ers and what they're dealing with. Let's go to Green Bay. Jeremy in Green Bay. Nice to have you, Jeremy. How are you?
Good, Jim. And I don't fault the Bra for running for office. It's 2020 after all. And maybe in today's politics, there's a place for a shirtless, baloney-nippled, burnout beach bum. But the vote didn't quite turn out in Silk's favor. So I wanted to give the clones an unbiased review of his campaign. Silk's final pitch to the voters was poignant. He wanted to allow lifeguards the ability to issue citations and fines for anyone playing volleyball, sitting on a beach towel too long, or generally having a good time. There was a $1,000 tax credit for narking out five or more of your friends and neighbors for breaking social distancing and mask mandates. Free college was also on the docket, but it would have been topped by a coalition of substitute teachers. And he wanted all residents to have access to the same health coverage he has, although he wasn't quite sure how to give everyone access to his wife's insurance. And clones, he wasn't kidding when he said his campaign would focus on homelessness. He was going to remove the negative connotations with the phrase soup kitchens and would have called them full-mosh bum seshes. These seshes would have ditched the soup and bread and served cured meats, aged cheeses, and fine wines contracted out to his wife's company. The campaign's strength was definitely its ground game in churning out the bum vote, spearheaded by Rich and IRA, but the majority of taxpaying voters went in another direction. Jim, in closing, the year the bra will go down in jungle history. He started off by being branded a narc, getting left on hold for the smack-off, and now it's ended by losing a historic election. What's next, getting the surfboard stolen by an angry beach volleyball player? Silk, nah. Patriot, nah. City councilman, hell nah. Deuces, Jimmy.
Dude, that was so bad. That was so bad I couldn't even run it. That was so bad. That was the train wreck I could not take my eyes off of. So now we've got one guy who denied having pepperoni nipples and one guy accused of having bologna nipples. Hey, bro, was that a phone call off the top of your head, or were you just on your phone scrolling down and reading every reaction and every tweet of the last 6 months about Silk?
Nah.
Because that's how, yeah. Yeah, bro. Nah. That's how that sounded. That sounded like you went to your iPhone and you flipped up and opened up your Twitter app and just started reading all the comments for the last 6 months. Every single one of them, and strung them together like that was some sort of stream of consciousness or some kind of spontaneous phone call off the top of your head. When in reality, that's every single tweet about Silk for the past 6 months. He didn't win. He didn't come close. The JTP is having a field day. In fact, the JTP is going to have a field week. The JTP is going to have a field month. The JTP will never let this go. I've got nothing against him, man. Like I said, I've got nothing. I'm here not to crucify the guy, but to praise the guy for trying to make his neighborhood and his community a better place. Putting himself out there, taking a chance. Yes, he got his ass kicked. We all get our ass kicked. All of us. Everybody. In every walk of life. The only way you don't get your ass kicked is if you never try. He tried. And it went really badly. But I'm not going to fault him for trying. Just come to find out his name recognition was not what he thought it was. Or at least not amongst the people who matter, namely the constituents, the voters in his own community. As somebody tweeted, name recognition? What is Rick in Buffalo, the fact that he knows who this guy is, how is that going to help him in a local election? And the answer is, it's not. And it didn't.
Hell nah.
I mean, maybe he does have some name recognition, just not amongst the people who matter, the people who could have elected him, the people who vote. Apparently, nobody in the backyard knows who he is.
I do have some name recognition.
But people know him. People know him across this fine land. And come to find out, as I'm looking at Twitter right now, people hate him across this fine land. It could not have gone better for the JTP. Could not have gone worse for Silkinson, nor better for the JTP. But if you think that I'm here to pile on, you got it all backwards. I'm looking at Antonio Brown right now. Rocking a Tom Brady hat. Wow.
Mr. Big Chest.
Well, Brady is vouching for Mr. Big Chest. And as Jason Lock and Forrest said when he came on the program, saying that he will be there. He will be on time. He will be on time for everything. He will be available. Right. And if he's not, they'll break him off. And then Brady will pretend like he never even knew him.
Things that don't involve me, don't involve me.
Things that don't involve me, don't involve me. How did that not involve you? He lived with you. What do you mean, things that don't involve me? But I guarantee it, if it doesn't work out, that's exactly what he's going to go with. Hey, man, things that don't involve me, don't involve me. He's wearing your hat. He's living under your roof. It involves you, Tom. All right, we are coming right back. What are you smirking about, Hawk? Hawk's pretty happy about that phone call that he put up from Jeremy. Like I said, that was not a phone call. That was Jeremy reading Twitter.
Nah.
Unless he made up that baloney nipple crack himself. Now it's just a matter of Silk coming in here and denying that he's got bologna nipples, much like Chael Jr. denied having pepperoni nipples.
Bologna nippled.
We will come right back. Here's a phone number for you. since we have a podcast coming up later on today, there is one last chance for you to get through and get your voicemail into said podcast. Write this number down, 949-385-0447, 949-385-0447. We take your voicemails, and much like the podcast itself, it's edgier, it's more aggressive. I do things there that I could never do here, and there are phone calls on that podcast that would never see the light of day on this show. 949-385-0447. Hit it up right now.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Do me a favor. Make sure you think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. We are close. We are convenient. We are known for our guaranteed everyday low prices, our excellent customer service. You want to stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Be sure to do so. Really quickly, this email reads, "Hi, Jim. I am stumped. How did Silk lose? Maybe it was a case of erectile dysfunction. I hope he comes to terms with his defeat. I feel it is incumbent upon me to point out that it is not curtains for Silk, even though his political career is nothing more than a dead caucus. He is a surfer, after all. He has a porpoise. Sarah T.
War Lady Clone.
Like Sarah Lesks. In fact, where has Den Lesks been? I haven't seen anything like that in a while. Okay. Jared in Wisconsin is in. Did the bra send Jano a concession text message last night or nah?
Nah.
Brah.
Nah.
I don't know, man. Jano's phone was going crazy last night. Crazy.
Go crazy now.
Her group was on their text thread. And as you might imagine, it was a rather unnerving evening for the entire country, but especially that group. And Jano's amazing, right? Like, Jano's incredible. I've said this a million times. I married the best person I've ever met. And here's the but. There's no but except for this. Jano is not the best at technology. Jano struggles with technology. All things iPhone, all things laptop, generally all things technology. She leaves the ringer on her phone up frequently. And during an election night, you don't want that. It's like, ding, 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 ding. So to answer the question, I mean, he may have, in fact, texted his concession to Jano. I wouldn't know because that phone was going freaking crazy last night. And a lot of it was like they were talking about, they were tracking everything. And I was sitting with her watching. And we kept fighting over what network we were going to watch, too. I kept changing it to the network I wanted to watch. You know, CBS, of course. And she would change it back because she's got her favorite. But, and the other topic of conversation was what they were all consuming. How much wine they had consumed. What cocktails they were having. A couple of the moms were into the edibles. She's obviously not listening right now. She'd be blowing me up. Jimmy! What, is that not true? So, what I'm saying is, Silk may have in fact conceded. Like, he did call prior to the election and say that when things went well, he would text Janet and let us know. He somehow, some way has her phone number. Not mine, but he has her number. And he's not disrespectful about it, but he's used it a couple of times. It's just one of those things like, because he's Huntington Beach and she's Long Beach, they know somebody. They know similar people. Like, he knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows my wife. And somehow, he ended up with her digits. Cousin Corey, probably, or I don't know. So, I don't know. I just know that her phone. And Janet's like, I'm constantly like, put it on Do Not Disturb. I did. I have. I don't know why it's doing this. Me neither, because if you put the phone on Do Not Disturb, we will not hear it. It won't vibrate. And most of all, it won't ding. Let's see quickly. Dear Jim, it's with my head held high that I recede the election. Signed, Silk's Hair?
Bruh.
Brett and Bugaha. Can we get back to the show? Can we get back to sports? Can we get back to doing what we need to do?
Give me back my...
But then again, there were no sports last night, right? Just the election. And there are no sports tonight, and they're still counting votes. I guess that's why we're doing this. The thing is, though, fine, they're not counting the Huntington Beach City Council votes. That's been decided.
That's fine.
And Silk did not get a lot of them.
Nah.
The votes. Nah, brah.
Hell
something
nah.
I was doing last night, I was tracking the election, not only tracking the election the way you track the election. Out of the corner of my eye, I was also tracking the election and the moving odds on betting sites. That was crazy. That was a roller coaster ride last night. And not only that, but on the betting sites, the sports betting sites that I use. The entertainment sites that I peruse for entertainment only at times. That was pretty interesting. So we do not know yet. And we're still not talking about the national election. And hopefully we're at the very end of talking about the local election, which did not go well for Eric. But it is Wednesday, and there are no games tonight. But there is a game tomorrow. Or there's not, actually. We'll see. Let's go to the phones. I do have thoughts on Bill Belichick, which I will get to. Absolutely, before the end of the show. Let's go to Houston. There's Jerome. The day after the fact. Jerome, you made it back. What's going on?
Hey, Vince Mac. Thanks for the vine. Appreciate to be in. Thank you for towing the line. I'll tell you, the last few days, you have been a bastion of normalcy. Most of the people I know, and I'm not talking about my buds, you know, Jack Daniel and Captain Morgan and those guys. I'm talking about people I really care about. Everybody's freaking out about this election. I said, you know what? We're either going to be poor or we're going to be rich. But you know what? We've been through these times before. We've been through these times before. And you know what? We made it through and here we are. And, hey, what else are you going to do? And a shout-out, Silk Bra. Bra. Dude, you keep fighting, man. I tell you, a lot of us have a little disdain for those Callies, but I'll tell you what, two of the most impressive people in the jungle that I've known is Silk Bra. Dude, keep fighting. You ended up 12th? Hey, keep fighting. You might not end up fifth next time, and keep up. If you're a younger man, keep fighting, dude. You'll be running that town before you know it. And the other tough son of a bitch in Cali is Trapper. Dude, I'm surprised I ain't heard from you. Even though we're opposite ends of the spectrum of anything we've ever thought about, you're the toughest son of a bitch in the jungle. Just a little shout-out. And Chris Jr. in Southeast Wisco. Just keep on shoveling that cheese and lard, and maybe you can get up the steps on your mama's house. I'm out.
Jerome somehow got that plane down, didn't he? He's like, even though we got disdain for you Callies, there are a couple of guys, tough some bitches in California I got respect for, Silk Bra and Trapper. In case you're joining us late, in fact, there's nobody listening right now. There might be some people watching on CBS Sports Network that are just kind of surfing around. They land on this. They're like, hey, that's a pretty handsome guy. He's talking pretty fast. I'm not sure what he's talking about, but he looks good. What's he talking about? We're talking about Silk. Silk is a longtime listener and caller of this program that ran for political office and got his head handed to him. It went badly. There were 15 candidates. The top three vote-getters were going to get seats on the Huntington Beach City Council, and he came in 12th. Oh, so close. Oh. But again, I mean, I'm having some fun right there. But nothing but credit to this guy. I'm not here to hammer this guy. He gave it a shot, man. He put himself out there. This is what happens when you put yourself out there. You risk embarrassment. You risk humiliation. You risk a beatdown. You risk getting your ass kicked. You risk the JTP murdering you on Twitter. This is the risk that this guy assumed. This is the chance that he took, and I respect it. Man, the easy thing, the safe thing, the cowardly thing is to never put yourself out there, to never take a shot at all, to never, ever risk anything. Then that way you never get hurt. You never get punched in the face. You never get your ass kicked. You never get embarrassed. This guy put himself out there, put himself online. Didn't go so well, did it? He'll be better for it. He'll come back. You know how I know? You're still here, man. You're still alive. You're still breathing. He'll be back. This says Rome. Tito now has the power to give everyone in Huntington Beach the American dream. Signed, kids running for elementary president who offer extra recess and more pizza lunches.
I want to give the American dream to every people, every person here in Huntington Beach. Yes, sir. That's how we do it. We call it winning. Winning!
I actually have experience in that. I can speak to that. I was the president of my elementary school. I went to Roscommere Road Elementary School. And in sixth grade, I ran for and won the presidency. Yay! In sixth grade. I'm not trying to like rub your nose in that silk, but I will tell you this, as long as I'm recalling weird things in my life, like my dad's childhood friend who said my eulogy sucked at his funeral. How about this? So I win that. I dominate that election, Silk. The other sixth graders were coming up to me after the fact and saying, how come you haven't done anything? How come you haven't done anything, Mr. President? I'm like, because we're in sixth grade. The hell you want me to do? What would you like me to do? Get you a longer recess? Get pizza day twice a week instead of once a week? It was a popularity contest, idiot. We're 11. What would you like me to do? Another tetherball court? Extend our summer vacation an extra month? Get an extra week at Christmas? Get that fat-ass teacher we hate fired? What would you like me to do? Make it okay for kids to make out behind the bungalows?
Winning!
I'm president of Roscommere Road Elementary School. I'm 11. It's sixth grade. Why don't you go find that guy's ass that I beat in the election? Find out what he's doing to make this place better. And just show up for my culmination speech, which I also nailed. I'd give anything to remember what I was talking about as a sixth grader when I had to go in front of the entire auditorium and give the culmination speech for our sixth grade graduation. What I would give to know what I said that day. One more thing about that. You know, the most famous kid in that class, you know who was in my class? Do you remember the child actress Kim Richards? She was on all the Escape from Witch Mountain movies. And she would roll in there like, and we're like, dude, she is a celebrity, man. She is a movie star. And she's never in school either. Of course, if you're younger, you know her from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, right? Yeah, well, I knew her. We were classmates. We were in first grade together. And I think she came to school once. And we're like, damn, she's here. She sat down next to me, grabbed my pencils, my erasers, because she could. She was a famous actress.
Jesus Christ, it's Jason.
Jesus Christ, it's Kim Richards.
Jesus Christ.
You gotta understand, man, back then there was none of this. There was no social. There was no internet. There was nothing like that, man. Like if I knew another kid in the neighborhood that was in a Wrigley Spearmint gum commercial, I thought that guy was Robert De Niro. I'm like, holy crap, that guy's in a commercial.
Jesus
Christ, he's in a gum commercial. So Silk, I know what it's like to win political office or to get elected to political office. I was the president of my sixth grade class.
Winning.
Hey, Rome Slice. Winning.
Winning.
Regards Silk when his wife hands him a few C notes to make him feel better. Geoff and Lincoln. Stay-at-home dad thing is coming back too. Who cares, man, who the breadwinner is? Somebody's got to, right? What if your wife has a better job than you? What if your wife is smarter than you? What if your wife makes a lot more money than you? And by the way, what's wrong with the man staying at home and being a house dad? Let me tell you something. Those swells, they're not surfing themselves. He's got a wetsuit and he's not afraid to use it. He's got baloney nipples. All right, then. Can I talk about Bill Belichick? Would that be all right with you clones? Can I do that? Because I've got thoughts on that. I've been trying to do it for 2 days. I will hit that when we return. Remember, I'm not doing this for my health. I've got a really good podcast. And it airs every Wednesday after this show. And has now for more than 3 years. And it's free, and it's long form, and it's premium. All you have to do is subscribe. And once you're subscribed, it will find you. You never look for it. It's good. Take it to the gym. Take it on your commute. Take it if you go on a hike. Darius Butler is my guest this week. We'll have that for you a little bit later on. Time for a sports update. My man, Richard Ack. All right, so last segment right now. And we're in the middle of the segment because we ran kind of fat last segment. So you could actually call and get through and get on the air. Like, no wait. 1-800-636-8686. If you're good enough. I've got a ton of content that I still want to get to. Some thoughts I want to get to. But I will put that aside and get to the right telephone call. For the right phone call. 1-800-636-8686. ATP is the Ask the Pros. We do this every single Wednesday. It's always brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. This guy's got a great question. Rome, when it comes to R-word investments, which one is the worst? Rock bands, restaurants, or racehorses? Oh, man, that is so good. That is so, so good. All right, so I can break it down for you really quickly. I invested in a band that tried really hard and did not get one penny back. So 0% return on that investment. There it is. Vendetta Valentine. That was fun, though. They tried hard. And they worked it hard. We sent this band out on the road. They were a band that had a song or two that was getting played on K-Rock back in the day in Los Angeles, a local band. And what they did was they made a presentation to me and said, here's what we can do. Here's how much we need. Here's what we can do with that money. And here is our projected ROI. And what they did is they went on the road for 30 days. And they did one city each day, one show. And they had a following back in the day. This song is called Let It Burn. This song was getting run on K-Rock, and I loved it. Let It Burn. I didn't know it was about my money. Just kidding, bro.
Burning.
No, I'm fine with that. I mean, they tried hard. I gave it a shot. There was like some local aspiring artists. I gave it a good shot. The restaurant thing is very different. You know, you all think that's pretty funny about the guy who crop dusted Janet and I at Geisha House. But much like, thank you, Albie. Much like horse racing or even Vegas, if you ever invest or you gamble and you have a good experience first out, you think it's easy and you think that's the way it's going to be. So the first investment we made in restaurants was at Geisha House. And Geisha House at that time was in Hollywood and just killing it. And it was throwing off income. And we kept getting dividend checks. And we loved it. And all the early investors were like, dude, this is great. We show up in Hollywood. And this is before I got crop dusted. But we show up in Hollywood. We act like we're important. We act like we're, quote, owners in this upscale spot. We can always get a reservation because we're, quote, owners. And it's throwing off income. So I couldn't wait to give this group more money. And they took that money and I never saw another dime ever again. Got my ass kicked. Racehorses. Now, that's something totally different, man. I cannot tell you. I literally have made and lost a fortune in horse racing. Literally. And when we were getting our asses kicked, but strangely enough, we were getting our asses kicked, but I was still having fun because I love the animal so much and I love the game. And it was so great. Like, there was nothing that felt as good as winning. And then when he lost, it hurt, but the rare win made it felt good. But then we were just getting our asses kicked. And Janet comes to me one day and Janet says, "Listen, how long are we going to do this? How long are we going to do this? How much money have we lost? You run the money. You tell me." And I said, "Jano, you're the one that told me to get a hobby." And she said, "Yeah, but not one this expensive." I said, "Here's the deal. We have one last swing, one last big swing. There's this horse in the Mike Pipey barn, and this horse's name is Misdirection. The people who got in early want to take the money off the table. They will make us the primary owners, which means we're the majority owners. We run in our silks, and this is the best horse we've ever been around." She's like, "Are you sure?" I said, "Of course I'm not sure. It's horse racing. You can't talk to the horse. I have no idea. But I think based on the way this horse ran and based on the way this horse trains, I think this is the one." And people had always said to me, "The thing about horse racing, all you need is one. All you need is one. One will pay for all of them if the one is good enough." But we can never find the one that was good enough until we found the queen, Misdirection. So, which is the worst? In my experience, restaurants were the worst investment. Then rock bands, then horse racing.
But Misdirection is just sheer collapse.
Because we made some money in horse racing. We lost a ton of money, but we made a ton of money. Dear Jim, do you know how to run? This is another ATP. Do you know how to run Alvy's board? Adam in Mississippi. I have no idea. I wouldn't know the first thing about that. I have not run a board since I worked in local radio in Santa Barbara. And I did run a board. Not only did I run a board, I ran my own board. I hosted a sports talk show, and I ran my own board. Before I ran my own board, I was a board op for other people. I once had this talk show host, and I didn't like this guy at all. In fact, I hated this old guy. He had a bad rug. He had a bad show. He had a bad work ethic. I didn't like this guy at all. At all. But that was part of my gig. I had to run his board. And I'd listen to his garbage talk show every single day that he never prepped for. And he was just like this weird old guy with the worst rug I'd ever seen in my life. And then one day in the middle of the show, one of his teeth pop out on the floor. And I'm like, holy crap. This dude's missing a front tooth. And I didn't even know what to say. Like, this guy was a super temperamental dude. Super temperamental. And how do you say, "Hey, yo, bro, you're missing that front incisor there"? And I say nothing. And he's going on for about two or three segments, doing his thing, doing his show, his crap show that he never prepped for, talking to his crap guests that he knew nothing about. And then this guy realizes he's missing a tooth. He's like, "Oh, I've thrown a crown." I'm like, "Right, bro. It's right there on the ground. You pick that thing up. Jam that chiclet back in there like it's a corn on the cob or something." I ran that board. I couldn't run Alvy's board, but I was able to run that board in Santa Barbara. Story time with Jim Rome, man. They're all coming back to me today. Paulie in Indy is in. "Hey, Romy, I'm considering investing in a band also. Lap band. Signed, Mike McGurthney." Mailman Casey tweets, "And the winner is Eric." Oops, excuse me.
Who are your winner?
"My bad." Signed,
David.
Tito.
Excuse me, my bad. Elijah Young Snipes.
Yeah, nobody made that mistake with Eric. Eric,
my bad.
Eric came in 12th.
I called it wrong. My bad.
It wasn't close enough.
I got
there
the
was no
right.
There was no confusion on the judges'
wrong.
Cards. He came in 12th
my
out of 15.
Bad, my friend. I'm sorry.
You got three. I'm sorry,
our
my friend.
Called it
you got 3.5% of the vote, my friend. I'm sorry.
28, 30, 27 for your winner, David the Coffee Boss Booker.
There's a greater percentage of alcohol in Mick Ultra than there is a percentage of vote, popular vote, that Silk was able to get. Excuse me. My bad. I'm sorry. At least Tito handled that win with class.
I'm sorry.
Just call today, brought to you by Dell Technologies. Black Friday is officially here. You can save up to 50% on powerful computers with Intel Core processors that will take your small business to the next level. Call 877-ASK-DELL or go to dell.com/SB Black Friday. My thanks to Jordan Wilkins, Indianapolis Colts running back. We had Jason Lockenfora, NFL reporter for CBS. We had Yogi Roth, Pac-12 network analyst. Darius Butler is my guest on the Jim Rome podcast. I'm going to push that out, episode 150. We are putting the finishing touches on that. That will be done momentarily. That will be live and hot and available for you in a couple of hours. Look for that. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. We're out.